asked. I was about to make my way toward them when I heard Sophia calling my name. I turned around as she was walking up to me. "Hey," she breathed out. "I've been looking all over for you. I thought you left me here."
"Never."
She smiled. "I'm sorry, Alejandro. I wasn't trying. It's just..." She paused, sighing, trying to gather her thoughts when mine were still on my mother. "I guess I'm just learning my role in all this, in your life," she spoke, bringing my attention back to her. "You'll be my wife, the most important person in my life. Nothing will ever change that."
"It's not that simple."
"You're making it harder."
"Baby,
we are different. What we have is different." I stepped toward her, taking her face in my hands.
"I don't want to lose you. I don't want you to change. I love you. For the man you are now. Do you understand?"
Tears threatened in her eyes.
"I don't have a choice, Sophia. Do you understand?"
I countered, letting her go. She nodded, reaching up to wrap her arms around my neck. I leaned forward, taking her into my arms.
"Yes, I don't want to fight. You do enough of that for the both of us,"
she chuckled, trying to break the tension between us. Our fight was over. For now.
"Te amo,"
I murmured against her ear. "I love you."
"I love you too. Come on, let's go back to our party."
She pulled away, grabbing my hand. When I looked over my shoulder toward the gazebo, they were gone. I spent the next week thinking about what I witnessed, watching my mom walk around, going on with her daily life like nothing was wrong, even though I knew otherwise. On several occasions, I walked in on her and my father whispering to each other, having intense conversations. They never fought. Something wasn't right, and they sure as hell weren't telling Amari and me. One afternoon, Sophia, my mom, and Amari decided they were going to start looking around for wedding locations. I took the opportunity to talk to my father, determined to get some answers to what the fuck was going on with my mom.
"Come in,"
Dad announced after I knocked on his office door.
"Do you have a few minutes?"
I asked, peeking my head inside. He gestured with his hand for me to enter and for his bodyguard to step out. I closed the door behind him, wanting some privacy. Taking a seat in one of the chairs in front of his desk, where he was sitting with piles of paperwork in front of him.
"Everything going okay with the Italians?"
he questioned, looking over the documents, not paying me any mind.
"I handled it,"
I simply stated, leaning back in the chair, eyeing him.
"Good. Then what's this about?
Is there something you're not telling me?" He peered up from his paperwork, placing the stack back onto his desk.
"Care to elaborate?"
"I saw Mom upset at the engagement party. What the hell is going on?" He scoffed.
"Your mother gets overwhelmed about everything.
You're getting married, Alejandro. It was a hard day for her. Her little boy is becoming a man, accomplishing another major milestone. She knows you're leaving soon. Amari will probably be next with how things seem to be going with her and Michael."
"I'm not blind. I know what I saw. Has something happened? Is Mom in danger?"
"She's always in danger. It's part of being a Martinez."
"No shit. I've seen you guys whispering. You're hiding something. Is she sick? If she's sick, you need to tell me. There..."
"I don't need to do anything, Alejandro."
I narrowed my eyes at him with a sincere expression. "I'm here out of concern for my mother." He took a deep breath, contemplating what he was going to say.
"I have it taken care of. Javier is... I'm handling it."
"It's been almost 4 years. 4 fucking years, and that motherfucker is still walking. He should have been taken care of already. What the fuck is the holdup?"
"Are you questioning my authority?"
he spewed, eyeing me up and down. "When it comes to my mother's safety, I would question Jesus Christ's authority." He slammed his fists on the desk, gritting out.
"I would never let anything happen to your mother. My wife. Do you hear me? Don't ever disrespect me by insinuating that I would."
I immediately stood, leaning forward, placing my hands on the desk. I looked him dead in the eyes and spoke with conviction.
"If you don't put a fucking bullet in his head, I will."
And I meant every last word. Chapter 11. Martinez. "Are you ready?" Amari asked. I should take a seat next to Sophia, who had a spread of bridal magazines laid out on the kitchen island. She had immersed herself in gowns, centerpieces, and decor for the past hour, color-coding and organizing what she liked and didn't. "Why am I going to do this again?" I asked, annoyed. They were dragging me along with them to do wedding shit. Women are supposed to be the ones that handle all this. I did my job. I proposed and put the ring on her finger. "That was a very sexist response, brother," she replied, flipping pages, pointing out what she liked.
"Call it what you want. I'm the odd man out. Last time I checked, I had a dick, Amari."
Sophia laughed, and my sister rolled her eyes.
"Alejandro, you're a picky eater. You need to come try the food for the reception. Then we have the cake tasting at 2 o'clock. After that, you can go back to not caring about our wedding," Sophia added, still not looking up from her damn bridal magazine.
"Baby, it's not like I don't care about the wedding. I just care about the wedding night and the honeymoon more. I offered to help you pick out your lingerie. That has to count for something, right?"
"You care about the sex," Amari chimed in.
"So romantic," Sophia added, shutting her magazine and grabbing her purse to leave.
"I'm a man,"
I shrugged, grabbing Sophia by the waist and pulling her into my side.
"You're a pig. Michael would never..."
"Michael's a fucking pussy."
Sophia smacked me on the chest and Amari rolled her eyes again, standing up.
"On that note, let's go. Mama's going to meet us downtown after her doctor's appointment. If we're late, it's your balls on the line because you know I'm going to blame it on you."
The limo that my dad insisted I needed to start using was waiting for us outside, along with 5 bodyguards.
"Are they always going to be with us?"
Sophia whispered at my side. Even after all these years, the men protecting us still scared the shit out of her, permanently scarred from that night. Amari peered over her shoulder, blurting,
"Get used to it. Knowing Alejandro, you'll have more than necessary."
I glared at her and she smiled, getting into the limo first. By the time we made it downtown, we were running late for our appointment.
"Relax. Mama isn't even here yet. Her car isn't in the parking lot," I announced, stepping out of the limo.
They both looked around the lot.
"How did you know that? We just got here,"
Sophia stated, glancing back at me.
"I'm always aware of my surroundings, baby. Let's go."
I nodded toward the guards to do their checks and led the way toward the garage elevator. Amari stopped as the doors opened.
"Maybe we should wait for her. She gets lost everywhere, Alejandro. You know she has no sense of direction," she reminded. "I bet that's why she's late. She probably gave Roberto the wrong address."
She was notorious for getting turned around, especially when she was out on her own.
"I don't want to miss this appointment,"
Sophia whined, pulling on my hand to go.
"We're already so late. We had to schedule this weeks ago, and..."
"Cariño, you know I hate it when you fucking whine like that."
I pulled her toward me, wrapping my arms around her waist. Elegant Edge catered to the rich and famous. The building had a private entrance and parking located in the back alley. Privacy was a must when it came to celebrity and high-end weddings. My mom always wanted the best for her children, no matter what the cost.
"Relax. We won't miss the appointment.
I'll make sure of it. But Amari is right. We should probably wait for her." She smiled, looking up at me adoringly.
"Oh yeah? You think your green eyes and devilish grin work on every woman, huh?"
"I know it does."
I grinned just to prove my point, whispering in her ear.
"The best 2 out of my 3 attributes."
"What's the third?"
"My cock,"
I responded, rubbing my dick against her just to prove my point again.
"Alejandro,"
she blushed, slapping my chest, trying to push me away. I held her tighter, chuckling.
"I love you."
"All right, you 2 lovebirds,"
Amari interrupted, bringing our attention to her.
"There's Mama's car,"
she gestured behind us. We all turned to see Roberto driving up the back alley with Mama in the back seat, waving and pointing in our direction as we came into view. I could see her smile. We all could. In her excitement, she was about to forego protocol, opening the door without her guard next to her. I would remember the next turn of events for the rest of my life. My father once told me that Martinez men didn't hold on to memories in our minds. They were burned deep within our souls, where they lay dormant. I never understood what he meant by that, until now. Except this was one of those scenes that no matter how hard I tried, how much I sacrificed, how long I prayed, I would never be able to forget. It would eternally haunt me. My mind would be forever branded, my heart forever broken, my future immorally damned. The moment where a part of me died. A black SUV with pitch black tinted windows came up from behind my mom's car in the alleyway, heading toward us. Out of nowhere, a matching SUV skidded out from the side street to the left, pulling up in front of Roberto, causing him to slam on the brakes, blocking the way to the garage, but not our view. The windows of the SUV in front of them rolled down, exposing two rifles. Roberto sprang into action, throwing his body over my mother. The rest played out in slow motion, a nightmare that would eternally haunt me. I'll never forget the look on my mom's face as gunshots rang out. Her worry-free smile quickly turned into a look of pure horror, as if she knew it was the moment she was going to die. Her time had come. An inevitable day she had been expecting all her life, knowing all along the consequence of loving a Martinez man.
No!
I shouted, with everything in me as the sound of shots ricocheted off metal and glass, ringing as screams echoed in the alley. Bullets flying everywhere, decorating the car with holes. Two bodyguards tackled Amari to the ground, guarding her, while I simultaneously picked Sophia up into my arms, throwing her onto the rough pavement behind a parked car, tucking her against my chest as my hands skinned against the asphalt, breaking our fall, shielding her body with mine. Seconds later, we felt the weight of my bodyguards on top of us, the air filled with rapid fire rumbling from afar, with Sophia and Amari screaming and crying all at once. She shook so fucking bad in my arms, her body convulsing with fear.
Take her, I ordered, shoving the men off me. You guard her with your fucking life, do you understand me? With your fucking life.
They nodded as Sophia forcefully shook her head.
No, no, don't go, please, don't go, don't leave me.
She bawled, clutching onto me like her life depended on it.
Grab her now! Get them out of here!
I ordered, ripping her off of me. They roughly tore her out of my arms, kicking and screaming, giving the men one hell of a fight. Her face was a blank canvas, but her eyes portrayed her pain. I affirmed,
Te amo, vamos,
as the guards rushed the girls into the elevator to take cover, hearing Sophia's pleas not to go as the doors closed. Standing without a second thought, I nodded toward the three guards who stayed behind with me, instantly yanking my guns from the holsters inside my suit jacket. We sprinted down the parking lot, hauling ass toward the vehicles, immediately opening fire, lacing the SUVs. Bullets recoiled off the steel, breaking through the tinted glass. Four men opened fire back at us, hitting one of my men several times in the chest, knocking him to the ground instantly dead. The other two tried to cover me as best as they could, but an endless stream of bullets kept coming at us from all directions. I felt a burning sting graze my shoulder, and then again at the side of my stomach, blood flying everywhere, not knowing if it was theirs or mine. Adrenaline coursed through my veins, throbbing through my bloodstream, taking over every inch of my body. My heart pounded against my chest as I tried to make my way over to my mother, praying that she'd be alive under Roberto's stilled body. My vision tunneled, seeing nothing but red the closer I got to her car.
Fuck, boss. You've been hit,
the guard to my right shouted as we took cover behind a nearby van, bullets still flying in every direction. I looked down at my body trying to figure out where I'd been hit. Blood was seeping through my white shirt.
Fuck it. I'm fine,
I roared, reloading my gun, only having enough bullets for one more round. Tossing my other pistol to the ground, I stood, still taking cover behind the van. I took my left hand and applied pressure to my side.
Boss, let us... Shut the fuck up. Let's go.
Shot after shot erupted from our hands. It was one right after the other, merciless images of death, the smell of blood all around us as souls were being dragged straight down to fucking hell. Sirens could be heard in the distance, causing the SUVs to immediately cease fire and skid off in opposite directions, though it didn't matter. It would take the cops fucking forever to figure out our exact location. Tall brick buildings surrounded the back alley, causing the noise to echo from all directions, making it harder to pinpoint where the bullets and chaos came from.
Boss! Wait!
I ran. I ran so fucking fast, ignoring the sharp pain in my side and the blood I was losing in the process. I darted toward her car, not giving a flying fuck if my life was still in danger, only needing to get to her as fast as I could, no matter what the cost. It was my life or hers. I choose. Hers. Chapter 12. Martinez. When I came upon the mangled metal, I instantly saw Roberto's dead body slouched over the back seat. I couldn't see my mother's small frame. Panic and fear immediately assaulted my senses, sinking deep into my pores before I even had the car door open.
Please.
please, God, please, please, God, I begged of the Lord above as I swung open the door, knowing that I had no right asking the heavens above to help a man like me. This was my fault. I did this. No one else but me. She was an innocent soul in all of this mayhem, getting caught in the crossfire of the life the Martinez men led, being punished for the choices we made, the lives we had taken, our daily struggles between good versus evil, when evil always won in the end. She was the only love I had known for most of my life, the only light that surrounded the darkness that lived within us. I prayed to God, the saints, and the angels that they would see everything she stood for, that they would know she didn't deserve this, that this wasn't the way she was supposed to die, through an act of vengeance meant for my father and me. I prayed they would give her mercy for her kind heart, her pure spirit, and undying devotion and love to the men in her life, even though we didn't deserve it. I threw off Roberto's limp body, finding my mother beneath him on the floorboard, gasping for air. Desperately clutching onto the cross necklace that she never took off her neck, her protection, her body seized uncontrollably with every forced breath that escaped her chest. Jesus Christ, I pleaded, not knowing where to touch her, hold her, or comfort her. There was blood everywhere, splattered on every surface of the car, her clothes drenched in red. I couldn't tell if it was hers or his. Probably both. Mama, I murmured, finding it hard to breathe, struggling to keep going when all I wanted to do was die along with her. My heart broke into 1,000 pieces, falling upon the massacre in front of me, tearing apart, dying, experiencing pain and agony like I never had before. I reached for her, grabbing her cold hand in a comforting gesture. A whimper escaped her lips. Her eyes shut from the excruciating pain I was sure she was experiencing. Mama, it's okay, I'm here. Your baby boy is here. You're going to be okay, I bawled, my voice breaking. But goddammit, you stay with me. Do you hear me? You stay with me. I'm here, Mama. I'm fucking here. I gently wrapped my arms around her upper torso, pulling her broken body away from the wreckage, being careful not to cause her more distress. An unceasing amount of blood gushed from her chest and stomach, seeping into every last fiber of my being. I slid down the side of the car as my legs gave out on me, ignoring the sting of my own wounds, leaning against it as I held my dying mother in my arms, my soul drenched with guilt. Mama, no. Please, God. Please. Somebody help us. Somebody please help us. She's dying. She's fucking dying. I screamed bloody murder. Uncontrollable tears streamed down my face, falling on her body beneath me. Shuddering, my body shook as profusely as hers. I held her so tight, so close to my fucking heart, needing to feel her heartbeat against my chest, reminding her how much I loved her and how fucking sorry I was. Alejandro, she coughed up blood, her body convulsing in my arms. I held her closer, kissing her all over her bloody face. Shh, Mama, shh, it's okay. I cried with trembling lips, caressing her face with the knuckles of my hand.
I love you, mi bebé para siempre,
she quivered, my baby forever. I shivered, my chest locking up, hyperventilating from bawling so fucking hard, my eyes blurred with tears, barely allowing me to see her face.
I'll never see you get married. I'll never get to see your babies and spoil them,
she choked out, struggling to place her hand over my heart.
You protect and take care of your sister, and I'll always protect and take care of you. I'll always be with you, mi bebé. Here,
she said between gasps, setting her hand on my heart. I fervently nodded, taking her hand, kissing it, letting my trembling lips linger along her barely beating pulse. Chaos was all around us. Bodyguards held in their earpieces yelling orders. Bystanders still ducked behind cars. Sirens were getting closer and closer.
Somebody help me. Please. Someone fucking help me.
I looked back down at her, grabbing the back of her head, holding her right against my chest, trying to keep her body from shaking while it shattered in my arms. She trembled faster and harder, vibrating against my core, tucking her face under my chin. I cradled her in my shaking embrace, rocking her back and forth.
You're going to be okay, Mama. The bodyguards, they're getting help. Help is on the way. You hear those sirens? They're coming. You're fine. You're going to be okay. Just hold on, okay? Please, Mama. I'm begging you, just hold on. Please don't leave me. Don't leave me. I love you. I love you so much. Please. Please, God, don't do this. Don't do this to me.
She sucked in a few breaths, gasping for more air.
Shh, I got you. It's okay. You're going to be okay.
I closed my eyes, remembering the last time I saw her happy. We were dancing with Sophia. She was laughing. She was smiling. She was breathing. She was so full of life. I didn't know how to comfort her, so I started humming her favorite lullaby, the very one she used to sing to us when we were kids. Ni niños bonitos.
Her body went lax. I was losing her.
Mama,
I whispered, my body suddenly shaking profusely.
Mama,
I repeated, slowly pulling her away from my chest. Her mouth was hanging open, and her eyes no longer held the light they used to. I shut my eyes, clutching her tight in my grasp along my chest.
No, no, no!
I screamed till my throat burned and my chest ached, bawling like a newborn baby.
No! No, please, God, no! Take me! Fucking take me! I'm here! Take me!
I was at a loss, silently cursing God, hoping that this was a nightmare I would soon wake up from. A god-awful fucking dream. Something. Anything. Other than what was actually happening. I laid her down on the pavement, pinching her nose closed and breathing into her blue lips. Her chest rose.
1, 2, 3.
I pumped my hands against her blood-soaked chest.
No! Stay with me! Fucking stay with me!
Blowing into her mouth again.
1, 2, 3. No! No! No!
I sobbed, my body convulsing as I took in the body of my dead mother in front of me, bowing my head in shame. At that moment, I would have sold my soul to the devil if it meant that it would bring her back. I sat up on my knees, looking up at the sky with my hands out in front of me.
I hate you. Do you fucking hear me? I fucking hate you!
I bellowed to the Lord above for taking my mother away from me. I took in my surroundings. Through my tunneled vision, I saw shadowy figures running toward the scene, yelling incoherent words. Out of the corner of my eyes, I saw Amari and Sophia come into focus. Amari was fighting off the guards, trying to run toward me. Sophia stood frozen in place, in shock. The roles from that night so many years ago were now reversed.
Alejandro, what are you doing? Fucking save her! Do something! You're letting her die! You better not let her die!
She screamed, flailing in the guard's arms, reaching her hands out, pleading,
Please don't let her die! You need to do something! Bring her back! Bring her fucking back!
She hysterically wailed, escaping the guard's grasp and falling to her knees, breaking down in front of me. My stomach dropped. My heart was now in my throat, bile rising, but I swallowed it back down. Sophia had a look of horror on her face, taking in the gore that looked like a scene out of a horror film. Amari continued to sob so fucking hard, her fragile frame heaving for breath.
I couldn't move. I couldn't go comfort them. I couldn't look them in the eyes, knowing I failed them.
Knowing I failed my mother. All I could do was mouth.
I'm so sorry.
From a distance, burying my face in my hands, the memory of their distraught faces added to the images that would forever haunt me. There wouldn't be one day where I wouldn't remember them like that, falling apart in front of me. Not one day. I sucked in air, my chest heaving from my own sobs. A sound so foreign, yet so real. My heart hurt, and I felt a pain I never in my life felt before. A part of me gone.
Mama,
I whimpered one last time, peering back at her through a cloud of tears, through a branded memory burning painfully deep in my soul.
I promise you, they will pay for this. I will make them pay,
I whispered in her ear, as I softly closed her eyes and did the sign of the cross over her beautiful, lifeless face, the way she'd done a million times to me, kissing her forehead one last time. I wanted to scream at the top of my lungs through the dark streets. I wanted to die, and I wanted what all Martina's men wanted.
Revenge.
The feel of blood on my hands that wasn't my mother's. She wasn't the only one who died that day. We all did, too. Chapter 13. Martinez.
How many guards are outside?
I asked, getting the security handled before the mass.
We have 15 set up in the front of the church, 10 in the back, and 5 at each side entrance.
Victor, my head of security, replied.
No presses to get past those gates. Do you understand me? If they do, it's your ass,
I ordered, pointing a finger in his face. He nodded, not taking my warning lightly. The past week had been a fucking shitstorm. Between the newspapers, news stations, reporters, and cops wanting answers in regards to the shooting, our lawyers were working day and night to get this problem out of the public eye. Fucking failing at doing so. I was the last one from our immediate family to arrive at the church. Sophia, Amari, and Michael drove together, escorted by bodyguards. My father came with his men, saying he had some stuff to take care of before the mass. I spent the entire week planning the wake, funeral, and reception that would follow at our house. We were all watching our asses, more so now than ever before. The Martinez name was being thrown in the line of fire for the first time. My father handled the business, making sure to keep everything in order while everything around us seemed like it was falling apart. He looked like he had aged 20 years overnight, the loss of his wife almost too much for him to bear. It was the first time I ever felt sympathy for him, an emotion I wasn't used to when it came to my father. I walked into the empty cathedral, needing a minute to sit before the guests started to arrive. My shoes echoed off the tile beneath me, mimicking my heart, as I walked over to the last set of pews, wanting to be the furthest away from my mother's body as possible. She was lying in her elegant red mahogany coffin beside the podium. In the last 2 days, family and friends paid their condolences, saying their goodbyes to the body that lay resting. I hadn't made it up to see her yet. A part of me wanting to remember the woman that used to be so full of life, not the unrecognizable one laying there lifeless. I watched from afar. The image of her dead body was the only thing that I saw in my mind every day. I felt like I hadn't slept since the day she died in my arms. I was emotionally and mentally drained, my body physically spent. I just kept moving, like I was on autopilot. If I stopped, I wouldn't have been able to get back up. Hey, Sophia announced, coming up behind me, rubbing my back as I blankly stared out in front of me. You look exhausted. Have you been sleeping? At all? Even if it's just for a few minutes? You were shot twice. You need to rest. When was the last time you took your medications? You're going to get an infection if you don't start taking care of yourself.
Where is Amari? I replied, ignoring her questions.
I suffered minor wounds during the altercation. Just a few grazes to my shoulder and the side of my stomach. A few stitches. Some medication. And I was good to go. My body would heal with time, but my heart was never going to mend itself. Sophia sighed. She's in one of the back rooms with Michael. A few of your family members just arrived. Do you need me to get...
Make sure Amari eats today. She looked as pale as a ghost all day yesterday. I don't trust Michael to look after her.
What about you, huh? You need to let me take care of you, too. You're not made of steel, Alejandro. It's okay to grieve.
I glanced up at her, taking her in. Thank you for looking so beautiful for me today.
Babe.
She came around and crouched down in front of me, placing her hands on my knees for support, looking me straight in the eyes.
It's okay to talk to me. I was there too. I can't imagine what you're going through, but you can't close off like this. You can't shut down, Alejandro. It's not healthy. I'm here. You can...
I placed my thumb over her lips, silencing her. No more talking, cariño. That's not what I need right now.
Rubbing my thumb along her pouty lips, I wiped off her lipstick. Ale...
The doors opened from behind us. Guests began to arrive for the mass that was taking place before the funeral. I welcomed the interruption, knowing where this conversation was going. I stood, bringing Sophia up with me, wrapping my arm around her lower back, nodding my head toward the associates that just walked in. We made our way toward Amari in the congregation room of the church. She was sitting on a chair with Michael crouched in front of her, peering down, her skin much paler than it was this morning.
Carajo, Amari, you need to eat,
I stated in a harsher tone than I intended, grabbing her forearm, pulling her to stand in front of me. I lifted her chin with my fingers so she would look at me.
Do you understand me? You need to eat.
Tears streamed down her sunken face, murmuring,
I can't do this, Alejandro. I can't go in there and say goodbye. I'm not strong like you. I never have been. My heart is filled with so much pain. I can't breathe. I feel like I can't fucking breathe.
Michael tried to pry her out of my arms, stepping in like he actually gave a fuck about her feelings. I glared at him, with a warning. His jaw clenched, rubbing her back instead.
I will be there with you, Amari. You can lean on me. I promise to hold you up. You need to promise me you will eat. Let me worry about everything else, okay?
Is she really gone? This isn't just a nightmare that we're going to wake up from?
This is really happening. She's dead. And I didn't even get to say goodbye. Please tell me it's just a cruel joke. I keep thinking that any second now she's going to walk through those doors and tell us it was all a bad joke. That this isn't real. Please, Alejandro. I beg you, tell me this isn't real.
She bellowed, her lips trembling. I held her face between my hands, and it was like looking into my mother's eyes.
I wish I could wake up, too. I wish I could lie to you and tell you everything is going to be okay. But this is life, Amari. There are no guarantees. No promises of tomorrow. We have today. And today we have to say goodbye to our light, our beloved mother.
I kissed her forehead, bringing her into my arms. She melted against me. Sophia wrapped her arms around her waist in a comforting gesture, watching me while I was comforting my grieving sister. Our father and the priest walked in to tell us it was time to go. Amari looked up from my chest and wiped her face, walking over to Michael. Dad went to reach for her, but she jerked back from his grasp with a look I couldn't quite place, catching all of us off guard by her drastic change in demeanor toward him. If looks could kill, this would be my father's funeral, not my mother's. He cleared his throat, slightly bowing his head, leading the way out the door. Amari tucked her body into the nook of Michael's arm and walked out. I grabbed Sophia's hand and brought it up to my lips as we headed in the same direction. All of us walked in together through the side entrance of the cathedral, following the priest toward the altar and taking a seat in the first row, closest to the casket. I tried to pretend that it didn't bother me, as if I wasn't dying inside. I ignored the sermon that the priest recited, every verse read by family, every memory her friends shared, getting lost in the abyss that now resided in my soul. My father stood, bringing my attention back to the present as he made his way up to the podium to say his eulogy. He peered out at the crowd of people with a devastated expression. Every row in the cathedral was packed with everyone who loved our mother. Even that didn't grant me peace. He bowed his head for a few seconds, needing to gain his composure.
Adriana, my wife, was the love of my life, my past, my present, and she would have been my future, he announced, looking back up.
As soon as the words left his mouth, I felt Amari tense beside me.
Before I begin, I would like to thank you all for coming here today to honor and celebrate the accomplishments of my wife. Thank you for the sympathy and support you have shown my children and me during our time of need. I can't begin to tell you how much I wish my wife were here, standing right here by my side, witnessing how loved she really was.
Amari scoffed out,
"Unbelievable,"
under her breath.
I spent 22 wonderful, blissful years married to the woman who was my soulmate. She was only 39 years old and had so much more life to live. I never imagined I would be a widower at 58 years old, having to spend the rest of my life alone when we should be spending it together. I vowed to always keep her safe, to always protect her.
Liar!
Amari blurted out, a little too loud, catching the attention of the people sitting around us.
Amari,
I warned, looking over at her. She scowled, narrowing her eyes at me as she continued his speech.
Enough,
I added, in a demanding tone. She just shook her head with a disgusted look on her face, peering back at her father.
I know my wife is looking down on us today with nothing but love in her eyes, thankful for the years we shared and the children we made, proud to have called us her family, to have... Jesus, I'm sorry, Mama. Please forgive me, but I can't listen to this any longer.
Amari interrupted, standing abruptly, pushing her way out of the pew, Emilia making her way toward the side exit. I stood trying to grab her arm, but I was too late. She was out of reach.
Amari!
I called out after her.
Please forgive my daughter. She is hurting badly. She not only lost her mother, but her best friend, and we all grieve in different ways.
Amari stopped dead in her tracks, her body stirring with emotions she couldn't control. Her chest heaved as her hands worked into fists at her sides, as if reading my mind. Michael stood to go comfort her. He wrapped an arm around her waist, leading her to the door. She leaned into his embrace, breaking down as they left together, never looking back. My father nodded to one of the guards to follow them out, and then locked eyes with me. Both of us concerned about Amari's outburst, not knowing what fueled it. I sat back down and he continued with his eulogy, sharing memories of the love he had for a woman he would never see again. At one point he had to stop, bowing his head on the verge of shutting down. He pushed on, and with each word that left his mouth, my heart broke for him a little more. The rest of the service went on without a problem, filled with nothing but sadness and tears. Amara was already in the limo when we walked out, waiting for us to go to the cemetery to officially lay our mother to rest. We drove in silence, all of us lost in our own thoughts, staring out the windows as the rain came down, mimicking everyone's despair.
Alejandro, it's okay to cry,
Sophia whispered, rubbing my back as we stood in front of her grave. I reached over and held her hand, squeezing it, in reassurance, watching through my dark sunglasses as they lowered my mother into the ground. My father was the first to throw a single white rose onto the coffin, making the sign of the cross, walking away from his wife for the last time, tears running down his face as he got in his limo. I wrapped my arm around Amari, supporting her as we each threw in another two white roses. Sophia and Michael followed. Amari was physically falling apart in my arms, and I couldn't do anything to take away her pain. I couldn't bring back her mother. Her eyes held so much sadness, anger, and disgust, all mixed together, not knowing who it was for. By the time we made it back to the house, it was packed with mostly everyone who had attended the funeral. If Amari heard, "I'm so sorry," one more fucking time, she was going to lose it. She was hanging on by a thread that was ready to snap at any second. I paid close attention to her the entire afternoon, making sure that Sophia or I were near her at all times, making her eat and be somewhat social, when all she wanted to do was go up to her room and drown in her sorrow. I wish I could tell you I was expecting what happened next. But I didn't. Not for one goddamn second.
"I'm so sorry for your loss,"
the wife of one of my father's associates consoled him.
"I can only imagine what you're going through."
I loved my wife with everything inside of me. A part of me doesn't even know how I'm going to keep going. She was my everything. I promised her that I would always protect her.
"Liar!"
Amari shouted, slipping out of my grasp, going right for my father.
"Fuck. You did this. You're the reason that she's dead."
Dad jerked back, her accusation almost knocking him on his ass. An immediate eerie silence filled the room that was packed with guests. All eyes were on them. I didn't falter. I was over to her in a heartbeat, gripping her arm, but she roughly tore out of my grasp.
"Amari, I understand you're hurting."
"You don't understand," she interrupted him. "You know nothing. You think you do. You think you have everything under control with your holier-than-thou persona. All you do is hurt people. You have no respect for anyone or anything. You will do anything to make people fear you. Look where that has gotten you. It should have been you we were burying today, not her. This is all your fault. You're nothing but the devil trying to pretend that he's God,"
she gritted out through a clenched jaw, her fists bawling at her sides. My father stood there, his chest rising and falling, trying to remain calm in front of everyone.
"Amari, now is not the time."
"To what? Call you out on your bullshit and lies? That's all you fucking care about."
"Amari,"
I murmured, grabbing her arm again, yanking her toward me.
"That's enough."
She peered up at me with hurt and fury blazing in her eyes.
"Fuck you, Alejandro. You're part of this too, Dad's little puppet. You're both to blame for my mother's death. You both brought evil into our lives. Do you know how much it kills me to say that to you, Alejandro? You're my brother, and I love you more than anything in this world, but all I want to do is hate you right now. He may be the reason she's dead, but you're going to be just like him. The devil in the making, and it makes me fucking sick. Our mother's lost her life because of her love for him. She's dead, Alejandro. Do you understand that? She's fucking dead, and her blood is on both of your hands."
I swallowed hard, knowing everything she was saying was true.
"I hope for Sophia's sake you walk away from this asshole and show her a life full of love, not a life where you'll always be looking over your shoulder waiting for bullets to fly, waiting for death to come for you, or she's the next woman you're dragging out of a car."
Sophia and I locked eyes from across the room. She was the first to break our connection, the truth in my sister's words taking residence in her mind. Amari's intense glare turned back to our father. He put his hands up in the air in a surrendering gesture, only fueling Amari's rage.
"I love you, Amari. I'm so sorry, but you lashing out like this isn't going to change anything. I'm your father, and that's never going to change. You will always be my daughter, whether you like it or not. Hira Martinez, I understand you're hurting, but breaking up our family isn't the answer. You..."
Before he even got all his words out, she charged at him, screaming. The guests, including Sophia, stood there, horrified at the scene Amari was causing. I immediately sprang into action, holding her back.
"You killed her, you motherfucker. There is no more family. She was the bond that kept us all together, and now she's gone. This is your fault, and I fucking hate you for it. This life, this hell, I'm done. Do you understand me? Fucking done. I'm leaving, and I don't ever want to see you again.
She thrashed around in my arms, wanting to hit him, needing to hurt him.
I hate you. I hate everything you stand for. You're dead to me. My father died the day my mother was murdered.
I hauled her out of the room, kicking and screaming, putting up one hell of a fight to go after him, whipping her body around, trying to get out of my grasp.
Jesus Christ, Amari! That's enough!
I roared once we were outside and away from prying ears, Sophia and Michael not too far behind us. She spun, facing me.
Let me go!
She gritted, pulling her arm out of my grasp, pushing me in the chest with all her strength. I barely wavered.
You're an asshole! How could you do that to me? How could you take his side after everything he's done? You know I'm right. Or is your conscience too fucking scared to admit it out loud?
She yelled, shoving me over and over again. I let her take out all her aggression on me. I deserved it. I deserved everything.
Amari, calm the fuck down,
I reasoned, only pissing her off more, grabbing her by the wrists, halting her assault.
Why didn't you do something? Why didn't you save her? How could you just let her die like that?
She sobbed, breaking free, shoving me the closer I tried to come toward her.
Amari, I'm sorry. I'm so fucking sorry. I did everything I could. Don't you think I would switch places with her if I could?
Her eyes blurred with nothing but tears, and my body twisted with the longing to fall apart, to finally let out all my emotions that were wreaking havoc on my soul.
She's gone. She's fucking gone. I hate you. I hate you!
She yelled over and over, to let it sink into my pores and make it become a part of me, making me truly believe it, truly know that this was the end.
Amari, I'll make it right, I promise you, I'll make it fucking right. Look at me. It's me, your brother.
She crumbled to the ground, taking me along with her. I dropped to my knees, ignoring the sting, which was minor compared to the pain in my heart, the devastation in my soul. I broke her fall as her body hunched over, shattering into pieces in my hands, slipping through my fingers.
I'm so fucking sorry. Please, you have to forgive me. I can't lose you too,
I murmured, my voice breaking. Sophia and Michael just stood there watching the two loves of their lives breaking. She let me take her in my arms, her head buried in my chest, her body lying in between my legs.
I feel like I'm dying. I feel like a part of me is dead and I'm never going to get it back. I don't want to hate you, but I can't forgive you. I don't know what to do, Alejandro. Nothing is going to bring her back.
She sobbed uncontrollably.
Shh, it's okay,
I whispered, rocking her back and forth.
Shh, I'm here. I'm here, Amari.
I reassured her at a loss for anything else to say or do. Our lives would forever change after that day. Especially mine. Chapter 14. Martinez. The limo pulled into the driveway just after 5 in the evening. It had been a few days since the funeral, and I was trying to play catch-up and get everything back in order. I couldn't even remember the last time I had a good night's sleep. I was so fucking exhausted. I stepped out of the limo, noticing Sophia's car was parked behind Michael's. That motherfucker was around more and more lately, consoling my sister, but I knew he had other intentions. I hadn't seen Sophia much since the funeral, too busy dealing with worried business associates and dodging the media that still lingered around like savages. The wedding plans were put on hold, the ceremony postponed as of now. We all needed time to heal and grieve. Neither one of us wanted to relive the painful memory that was now associated with my mother's death. I walked inside the house and headed straight for my bedroom, looking for Sophia. Sometimes she'd curl up on my bed and wait for me in there, or before my mom passed, she would be in the kitchen cooking with her. My chest tightened at the thought, remembering how many times I would lean against the door frame just to watch without them knowing, loving their banter and the way they were around each other. Memories I would cherish till the day I died.
Cariño, I called out, rounding the corner into my bedroom, expecting her to be waiting for me. Sophia?
She was nowhere to be found. I took off my suit jacket, along with the holster, placing my guns on the nightstand and throwing the jacket on the bed. I made my way toward Amari's room, figuring that she would be in there, maybe hanging out with my sister, who I hadn't seen much of either. giving her the space she obviously needed. She stayed at Michael's more often than not, avoiding my father and the memories of our mother that would always linger in the house.
Sophia, you need to listen to me,
I heard Michael say from down the hallway.
I'm only trying to protect you.
I stopped, just shy of the door, wanting to hear where this was leading.
Michael, do you really want this life? A life where bodyguards are constantly surrounding you because your life is always in danger, waking up every morning not knowing if it's your last? What about your kids, huh? You want to risk their lives too? Do you want to spend the rest of your life married to a criminal? Because make no mistake, Sophia, under the fancy suits and expensive facade, that's what he will always be.
A notorious gangster. Do you want to know where your love for him is going to lead you? 6 feet underground, right next to his mother. You need to go. I slowly clapped my hands, walking in, snidely laughing. Well, this was quite the goddamn speech, motherfucker. Next time you so much as mention my mother, I promise you, it will be you that's 6 feet under. He narrowed his eyes at me, not backing down. I'm not scared of you, Martinez. I chuckled. That much is clear. I'm trying to protect her. Save her fucking life, unlike you who couldn't even save your mother's.
You motherfucker.
My fist connected with his jaw before he even saw it coming. He stumbled a little, catching himself on the nightstand, standing up and grabbing his jaw, adjusting it side to side.
You son of a bitch!
He charged me, ramming his shoulder into my torso, taking me to the ground. Sophia shrieked, immediately yelling at us to stop. Standing back, watching two grown men have it out, I instantly fought back, wrestling around on the hardwood floor for a few minutes, each of us trying to get the upper hand. He was able to get on top of me, getting in a few hits to my face.
You're just proving my point, Martinez. That's how you handle everything, isn't it? Violence is all you know.
He spewed, pushing the side of my face into the floor. That's the life you want for your girl? Is that what you're going to teach your kids, huh? You're an animal, and it's only a matter of time until it costs you Sophia.
And it was only a matter of time until I fucked you up.
I hit him in the gut, and he fell forward. I flipped us over, locking him in with my weight.
I've warned you more than once.
I hit him.
Unlike my sister, I know what the fuck you want, and it's not her.
I punched him again.
You don't want to fuck with me, or what's mine.
I hit him twice more.
You sorry-ass motherfucker. Spitting your bullshit lies in my goddamn face. You're lucky I don't put a bullet in your fucking head right now.
I love Amari,
he yelled, blocking another blow.
Alejandro, stop!
Amari shouted, trying to pull me away.
Please stop! I'm pregnant!
I froze. Our labored breaths were the only sound in the room. I removed myself from him. Our intense, crazed stares never faltered. I stood up, needing to take a few steps back to collect myself. She immediately got down on her knees in front of him, taking his bloody face between her hands, comforting the piece of shit.
Are you fucking kidding me? You go to him?
I seethed. She glared up at me. There was no love for me in her eyes. Nothing.
Jesus Christ, Alejandro. He's on the ground. You're standing. You insensitive prick.
Sophia rushed over to me, trying to tend to my wounds. I pushed her hands away, not needing to be fucking babied.
I'm fine,
I yelled, startling her.
When?
I retorted, only glaring at Amari, not having any patience left in my body.
You want to talk about this now? Are you serious? How far?
I snarled through gritted teeth. She looked down at Michael and then back at me.
A little over 3 months. That's why I've been so pale and not eating. Morning sickness has kicked my ass. I can't keep anything down. I wanted to wait until I was past the first trimester to tell anyone I was going to.
Did Mama know?
I interrupted her, needing to know. She shook her head no.
We were going to tell everyone the day she was murdered,
she announced, choking back tears.
I told her we had a surprise for her after your wedding appointments. It's probably why she was so happy when she saw us. You know her. She knew everything before we even told her.
I ran my hands through my hair in a frustrated gesture, wanting to tear it the fuck out. I turned away from her, looking back at Sophia.
Did you know about this?
She just stood there, looking at me, silently confirming what I feared. Michael grabbed Amari's hand, and she helped him up, putting his arm around her neck and leaning on her for support.
Fucking pussy. This ends now, Alejandro. He's just trying to protect her. You should be thanking him, not trying to fight him.
Are you that fucking blind?
It doesn't matter anymore. Amari paused to let her words sink in. I'm pregnant, and we are getting married, she revealed, almost knocking me on my ass. Michael asked me to marry him, and I said yes. We're leaving, and there is nothing you can say or do about it.
It was like blow after blow after fucking blow to my heart. I almost fell to the ground, stunned, watching as she helped the piece of shit sit on the bed, turning back around to face me again.
You're going to be an uncle. I think it's a girl.
Amari nervously laughed, trying to lessen the tension that filled the room. The air was so fucking thick I could barely breathe, suffocating in the truth that surrounded us.
If it is, we're naming her Daisy.
Jesus Christ, I whispered to myself, attempting to take everything in. The room felt as though it was caving in on me. I took a few deep breaths, trying to calm the fury within me, wanting nothing more than to take out the son of a bitch who got her pregnant and put a fucking bullet in his goddamn head.
I can't stay here anymore. There's nothing left for me. I need to move on with my life, raise a family, get a house where my babies will be safe, where my family won't live in fear, she added.
What about me? Huh?
You'll always be my brother, Alejandro. If you want to be in our lives, you're always welcome, but you're going to have to accept Michael as part of mine. He's the father of your niece or nephew. We're all family now.
I was over to Michael in three strides without giving it a second thought, getting right up in his face, grabbing the front of his shirt, jerking him up and toward me.
Alejandro!
Amari tugged at my shoulder, trying to stop me, but I didn't pay her any mind, too focused on my task at hand.
You take care of my sister and that baby. Do you understand me? This is the last time I will ever grant you another warning. You protect them with your life. You treat and respect her like she fucking deserves. All I need is a reason. Give me one reason, motherfucker. I don't care who the fuck you are or what you mean to Amari. I gritted out through a clenched jaw. I will lay you the fuck out and not think twice about it.
I shoved him off. He lost his balance, stammering to sit back on the bed to regain his composure.
They're my life. I love your sister and that baby more than anything.
Michael declared his love and devotion. Complete and utter bullshit. I shook my head, slowly stepping away, needing to get the fuck out of the room before I did something I would regret. Sophia trailed closely behind as I furiously made my way back into my room, shutting the door behind her. I paced around the room with my feet moving on their own accord, fueled by uncontrollable rage, burning a hole in the floor beneath me. Each stride only added to the tension I felt in my core, throbbing through my veins, producing a piercing sting in my mind.
Alejandro,
I put my hand out, silencing her as I continued to pace around the room.
Don't.
Let me just...
I'm fucking warning you, Sophia. Not right now.
You're warning me? What? Am I next?
I stopped dead in my tracks, glaring at her. Cocking my head to the side, I scoffed out.
Let's just say, I wouldn't take my warning lightly. I want nothing more than to take my goddamn anger out on your sweet little ass right now. But contrary to what you seem to think about me now, I'm not a fucking monster.
She jerked back, hurt. I didn't falter.
Is that all it takes for you to turn on me? Because I tell you right now, Michael is a dime a dozen, sweetheart. There will be a Michael around, lurking in the corner, trying to make you turn against me, especially after you carry my name.
She grimaced. I raised an eyebrow, stepping toward her, causing her to back away until she hit the wall with a thud. I caged her in with my arms, eyeing her up and down. Since when do you want me to fight your battles? She asked, not backing down.
You didn't say one word in there, Sophia. Not one fucking word. I don't need you to fight my battles. I need you to fight for our love.
I saw doubt in her eyes for the first time. She didn't even try to hide it, and that look alone almost brought me to my knees. I pushed off the wall, slowly backing away from her, my father's words from not so long ago coming back to haunt me.
Do you think she's strong enough to handle our lifestyle? Your future?
I shook my head, ridding myself of doubts and memories as she reached for me, immediately realizing her mistake. I shoved away her embrace, roughly grabbing her chin instead and spoke with conviction.
Actions will always speak louder than words, cariño, and yours just spoke fucking volumes.
I let go of her and walked away,
leaving her to wallow in the doubt that I knew was now implanted in her head. I went up to the attic of the only home I'd ever known, feeling more alone than I'd ever felt before, contemplating if this was the life that I was destined to lead. No family, no love, no God, only darkness. I sat there for what felt like hours, lost in the depths of my mind, a menacing place I didn't like to frequent very often. I felt her presence before she even sat down next to me. Amari took a deep breath, whispering, "I knew I'd find you up here." She stared out ahead, gathering her thoughts with what she wanted to say to me, already knowing this was going to be one of our last conversations for who knows how long. "I have loved Michael all my life. He's the only future I ever wanted, I've ever needed. I've always known he was my way out. A baby would just seal us together forever." I glanced at her, narrowing my eyes as I processed her words and what she was implying. "Michael is a good man. Contrary to what you think, he will be an amazing husband and father. No one will take him away from me. He's mine now."
We locked eyes.
"I love you, Alejandro. You'll always be my brother no matter what. I'll always be a Martinez. And with that name comes purgatory. I need you to promise me something."
"Anything," I simply stated, breaking my silence.
"If something were to happen to Michael and I need you to promise me, to swear to me on your life, that you will step up and raise our child as your own."
"Amari," she stopped me, putting her index finger to my mouth.
"Promise me."
"Why me? You're running away from this life, and yet you trust me with your child."
"Michael's parents are old, and he's an only child. You're the only family I have. The evil you know is better than the evil you don't."
I nodded, murmuring,
"I promise,"
as I leaned forward to kiss the top of her head. I allowed my lips to linger for a few seconds.
"Nothing will ever happen to you."
She lovingly smiled.
"I have to go. Michael is waiting for me."
Getting up, she went to the stairs without a second glance, walking away from her past to be with her future, vanishing right before my eyes.
I needed to get the fuck out of there. I didn't know where I was going, but I needed to clear the thoughts that were pushing me deeper and deeper down the black hole of life.
I grabbed my keys and wallet from the kitchen counter and headed toward the front of the house, passing my father's office on the way out. His door was slightly ajar, and I could hear voices on the other side.
"She got what she deserved,"
Dad laughed, causing me to abruptly stop. I thought the moment my mother took her last breath would forever haunt me, an image that was carved into my mind till the day I die. But the next words out of my father's mouth killed me completely.
"Sorry for taking so long to contact you. I had a lot of heat on my shoulders, but I just want to thank you for taking care of business. They both got what they deserved. The bitch should have known better than to betray me. She came from nothing. She had no clothes on her back, and I gave her everything she yearned for, and she paid me back by fucking her bodyguard. The puta deserved every last bullet she got," he confessed, with nothing but amusement in his voice,
destroying the last part of my humanity and my soul. Chapter 15. Martinez. A lot had changed in the last few months. Amari and Michael left a few days after our altercation, leaving behind all the bad memories, including me. She left without saying goodbye, not so much as a note to tell me where they were going, but I had my ways to keep tabs on them. They were living in Washington, playing fucking house. Amari was a housewife who devoted her hours to charity work, and Michael got a job with an import-export company. My father didn't even bat an eye when I told him they got married at a courthouse while he was handling business in Colombia. I never spoke of the day I learned the truth. I let him go on pretending to be a grieving widower and me a devoted son, even though I wanted nothing more than to end him. I moved into my own penthouse in Manhattan, similar to the one my father owned. The whole top floor was mine. I wanted privacy now more than ever. It was a spacious 7,000-square-foot penthouse that overlooked the Brooklyn Bridge. Floor-to-ceiling windows lined the east wall, with French doors that opened to a private balcony. I spent most of my time sitting out there, breathing in the city that never slept. Exactly like me. They say your body gets used to whatever it's given. It's our natural form of survival, adaptation in its truest form. I was lucky if I slept 2 to 3 hours a night, never fully reaching the deep sleep phase. The faintest sounds woke me during the night. I was always looking over my shoulder, unable to trust anyone in this life,
including my father. I spent hours in my office working just to keep myself moving, much like him. The irony was not lost on me. Distance was supposed to make the heart grow fonder, and that was proving to be true. At least in my case. I couldn't speak for Sophia. I fucking missed her like crazy. She was my world, the air I needed to breathe. She had been distant lately, but I refused to let my mind ponder the reasons behind her behavior, the thought almost too much for me to bear. Deep down, I knew what Michael told her changed us, but I decided that if I wanted us to get back on track, then I had to fight for my girl. I told her to meet me at my place one evening. She'd only been there a handful of times, but never stayed for too long, always with an excuse of why she had to go. I wanted her to move in. I wanted us to get married, but I also knew she needed time. After all the loss I had experienced these past few months, I wanted her next to me. I needed to know she loved me for who I was, wanting nothing more than to hold her in my arms every night and wake up to her beautiful face every morning. I ordered dinner from her favorite restaurant downtown, making sure to get everything she loved off the menu, and then some. I even went the extra mile and had someone come in and decorate the dining room and bedroom with all kinds of romantic shit women loved, hoping that this night would be a new starting point for us. A new beginning. When the bodyguard let her in, I took in her thinning frame. She looked as exhausted as I felt, but God, she was still so fucking beautiful, so completely breathtaking. I leaned against the wall in the shadows, wanting a few seconds to look at her without her knowing. Her dark brown hair was down and flowing with the light breeze that cascaded through the room from the balcony doors being open. She wore a cream-colored dress that hit just above her knees, with matching heels. I watched her with a predatory regard as she gazed around the room, looking for me.
"Hey,"
she breathed out, visibly nervous when she found me. I smiled for what felt like the first time in weeks. "Come here." She made her way over to me, her dress flowing with every step that brought her closer. I watched the way she moved, the way her body swayed with each step she took, the way her scent assaulted my senses. I couldn't fucking help myself. I reached out instantly, taking her into my arms when she was within reach, holding her as tight as I could, breathing her in, cherishing the feel of her against me again.
"God, he feels so damn good."
She melted into my arms. We stayed lost in each other for I don't know how long, chest to chest, feeling our hearts beating as one. I grabbed the sides of her face, needing to kiss her, wanting to devour her. She looked deep into my eyes, intently searching for something in my stare, looking for a trace of the man I used to be, trying to find signs of the man she fell in love with, the remnants of who we were once upon a time. I had never seen her look at me like that before. Longing. I slowly moved my thumbs along the edge of her face, tracing her cheeks from side to side, soaking up the feel of her skin against my fingertips, ever so softly